Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
Great piece I want to share with you today. It's very interesting to me. I don't know if you saw the funeral today or not for former President George H.W. Bush. Interesting how there was such an outpouring of support, as there should be, and he deserved it. He certainly did. But the New York Times editorial about him, very similar to the New York Times editorial about Ronald Reagan. Now, let me share this with you. This is from the Washington Free Beacon, David Roots. New York Times editorials about the deaths of Reagan and Bush. They called them fortunate in foreign policy, and they slammed the current Republican presidents. New York Times editorials about the last two elected Republican presidents to die, Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush, have strong similarities, calling them both fortunate in their foreign policy victories, comparing them positively to the current GOP office holders, and bemoaning the negative state of politics under the current commanders-in-chief. Reagan, the 40th president, died in 2004 at the age of 93, and Bush, his vice president who succeeded him as the 41st president, died Friday at the age of 94. In 2004, the New York Times took the occasion of his death to mourn the George W. Bush administration's policies and decade of political mean-spiritedness, while praising Reagan's collegiality and good manners. Quote, looking back now, we can trace some of the flaws of the current Washington mindset, the tax cut-driven deficits, the slogan-driven foreign policy to Mr. Reagan's example, they wrote. But after more than a decade of political mean-spiritedness, we have to admit that collegiality and good manners are beginning to look pretty attractive. Basically saying that, you know, back in Reagan's day, everybody got along. Now in Bush's day, they all hate each other. Very familiar, right? It also hit Reagan for turning the GOP away from its fiscally conservative roots and for George W. Bush's decision to espouse the principle that tax reductions boost the economy. Quote, although Mr. Reagan did reverse course and approve some tax increases in the face of mounting deficits, in stark contrast to President Bush nowadays, he was still responsible for turning the Republican Party away from its fiscally conservative roots. The flawed theory behind the Reagan tax cuts that the ensuing jolt to the economy would bring in enough money to balance the budget is still espoused by many of the Republican faithful, including President Bush. Of the 41st president, the New York Times waited until the second paragraph to contrast Bush's personality with that of Trump's. At the moment of his passing, it is difficult not to take note of the profound differences between the 41st president of the United States and the current occupant of the White House, Donald Trump. Beyond the desire to be president, Mr. Bush was more competitive and ambitious than his self-effacing personality somewhat suggested. There is almost nothing in common. The one gracious and modest, the other rude and vain, the one prudent, the other brash, the one steady, the other unmoored. The New York Times editorial boards in 2004 and 2018 also suggested Reagan and Bush were beneficiaries of good fortune while discussing their foreign policy successes. Together, Reagan and Bush oversaw the collapse of the previous generation's main adversary, the Soviet Union, and the end of the Cold War. On Reagan, the New York Times wrote, quote, he profited from good timing and good luck, coming along when the country was tired of our dour pedantry of the Carter administration. Wounded by the Iranian hostage crisis, frustrated by rising unemployment and unyielding inflation, Mr. Reagan's stubborn refusal to accept the permanence of communism helped end the Cold War. He was fortunate to have as his counterpart Mikhail Gorbachev, a Soviet leader ready to acknowledge his society's failings and interested in reducing international tensions. So you see, he was lucky. Lucky that Gorby was there with his little thing on his head. That little thing couldn't get off. We've always tried. Leslie Nielsen tried too. Nobody could get it off. On President Bush, they wrote, fate had dealt him one of the strongest hands in foreign affairs ever awarded a new president. And for the most part, he played that hand cleverly and energetically. The Times did not endorse Reagan or Bush in any of their presidential bids in 1980, 1984, 1988, or 1992. Indeed, the paper of record has endorsed the Democrat in every presidential election since 1960, when John F. Kennedy ran against Richard Nixon. Michael Goodwin over at the New York Post today also has a great piece. Thank my buddy Paul for sending this to me. It's entitled, "Democrats Really Do Love Republicans When They're Dead." He was a patriot, a hero, a gentleman, and a great American. You can't pick up a newspaper or go near a television without hearing leftists gush with praise about the late President George H.W. Bush. Who knew they felt this way? And you are not mistaken if the outpouring of previously unknown affection for the first President Bush sounds familiar. That's because it is almost identical to the loving send-off the same suspects gave Senator John McCain back in August. It all just goes to prove that Democrats and their media handmaidens really do love Republicans when they're dead. All the more so if, when they were alive, they opposed President Trump. Goodwin writes, "There were reports that both Bush and McCain voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. See? Good Republicans. McCain's feud went beyond the grave when it became known that he did not want Trump at his funeral. McCain got extra love for that final bit of pettiness. Paradoxically, Bush gets extra credit because he wanted Trump at his funeral, even though both gestures are seen as a rebuke to the current president. In this case, Bush is hailed for rising above pettiness. There is another phony dimension in the media's praise for Bush and McCain, and that both were said to epitomize a less toxic time in politics. Well, it's true, politics wasn't always as vicious as it is now, and that Democrats and Republicans actually socialized frequently. The mainstream media didn't share in that bipartisan praising when it came to coverage. Even then, their bias tilted left, although their double standard has reached new depths in recent years." And it goes on. So I'm just pointing this out to you because the last time the New York Times endorsed a Republican was 1956. Imagine that. And they backed Dukakis over Bush in 88. And, of course, they backed Clinton over Bush in 92. And then, of course, they backed, when John McCain ran, Barack Obama in 2008. When Bush nominated Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court in 1991, he and Thomas got the same kind of character smearing that Trump and Brett Kavanaugh got this year. Now he's a model of American greatness. See, I believe President George H.W. Bush deserves all the praise he's getting today. Whether or not he was right in every policy is irrelevant. The man served our country. The man served with pride, and the man deserves everything he's getting today, in my opinion. But what I can't stand, though, is the way the media pretends like they love him. And this is not just the New York Times doing this. This is a lot of people using him as a device to criticize the current president. And they do this, and it becomes very, very tiring. It really does. But they're not letting this opportunity go. I was seeing people on Twitter going, it's just like a time in our nation that we'll never have again because of that guy sitting in the first row, blaming Trump for all of this, as if before he got there, it was never like this. Here's a montage of the media using George H.W. Bush's death to trash President Trump, courtesy of Grabe, and take a listen.
But what becomes undeniably obvious with every bio run about Bush 41 is that stark contrast between these two men. Over the last 2 years, deviancy has continued being defined down by this current president, his cronies, his supporters.
Look, Donald Trump is 180 from who George H.W. Bush is.
The world looked to George Bush because he was a leader respected. He had proven himself. This president has yet to do that.
This president that we have now is trying to unravel everything that he did and Obama did.
I think he's doing this because he feels he has to do it. I can't help but wonder if there was a thought bubble over Donald Trump's head just now, what he was thinking.
I have to imagine he was thinking, how much longer do I have to stand here?
We may not approve of this current president, but that doesn't diminish one's respect for the office.
Because there are a lot of things about George H.W. Bush that maybe people now appreciate that they didn't appreciate the time.
And it just gives you a sense of the big character of the man and the contrast with the small character we see today.
George Bush believed in the institutions of government, which I think too is another reason why this moment to remember and to compare and contrast is so important, because our institutions are so under siege right now by the government itself.
And that is why we celebrate George H.W. Bush's legacy and fear the next 2 years of Mr. Trump's wild White House ride.
Wild White House Ride, which, by the way, is the newest ride at Disney World. Mr. Trump's Wild White House Ride. It's a water ride, by the way. You can go in it. It's an adventure. It's very fun.
Donald's. It's Donald's Wild.
It's bumpy at times, you know? And then sometimes tweets come at you and they, psh, they smack you in the face. As you're going through Donald's Wild White House Ride.
Oh, we can have fun with this.
Oh, we definitely can.
Tweets smack you in the face.
Yeah, tweets smack you in the head. They say not to sit in the first car on Donald's Wild White House Ride because you'll get wet. That's always the one that goes right into the swamp. Yeah. And comes out. It drains the swamp as it comes out. You get muddy in the back, Dawn, you see? Goes in wet, you come out muddy in the back.
Yep.
Donald's Wild White House Ride. And as you go by, there's nuclear war buttons you can hit to launch actual real missiles. Hey, kids, you could be the lucky one. Mommy, look, I launched a nuclear missile just like Donald Trump didn't do on his wild ride. What I recommend doing, by the way, is getting the early pass. What do they call that? The so you don't have to wait in line. What is it? The speed pass,
speed
right?
Yeah, I think it's. Yeah.
Go on MSNBC.com. You can reserve your space in line right there.
Yeah.
Do that.
You need to do it now, though.
Do it now because it's going to get Donald's Wild White House Ride, all right, is booked.
It's going to sell out, yeah.
Wild White House Ride was not Joe and Mika's honeymoon. Thank you, Dan Snyder, for that. Thank you for that. Very, very gross, actually.
What'd you say?
What's that?
Wet and muddy?
Yeah, you come out, you start going wet, you come out muddy. Like, Donald's White House Wild Ride is going to be very bumpy in the next 2 years. Very bumpy. It's the analysis of Mika Brzezinski. Yes, go ahead.
Oh.
And fear the next 2 years of Mr. Trump's Wild White House Ride.
Wild White House Ride. Come on in, kids. Tweets smack you in the face. The Twitter machine goes by. You can call. You can get arrested by Mueller. Mueller chases you. Mueller chases you on the ride. You got to escape Mueller. That's what you got to do.
There's a bunch of Russians.
Yeah, there's, you know, the Russians grab you and try to hide you from your parents. That's why Dawn will never let her kids go in there. Are you kidding me? No way.
That's right.
All right. So there you have is a great example of how the media is full of it. Because this, what they did with Reagan, they used Reagan's death to criticize George W. Bush. They used George H.W. Bush's death to criticize President Trump. And they're not alone in this. This is what the media does. This is what they do. With Reagan, it was, well, look at this time we're in now. What a mess. Wish it was like the good old days. And Reagan got lucky because of Gorbachev and his thing on his head. He was able to help him. But other than that, he was just lucky. And with Bush, George H.W. Bush, he got lucky. Again, he got lucky too. Another one who got lucky with the Cold War and all the other stuff. Lucky. But the truth is, people see through it. I think people see through it, and it's why it doesn't work for them. You know, you can't separate that from, again, the lack of coverage over the story out of New Jersey, and just see the media bias. It just smears itself everywhere. Ugly, but predictable. Ugly, but predictable. Unlike Donald's Wild White House Ride, which you never know what you're going to get. You never know.
H.W. Bush's legacy and fear the next 2 years of Mr. Trump's Wild White House Ride.
There could be blood coming out of the floor, blood coming out of wherever. You don't know where the blood could be coming out of on Donald's Wild White House Ride. You just never know. And there'll be a little Kim Jong-un in there, and you go by, and you either, depending on which direction it takes, you either call him Little Rocket Man, and the world blows up, or you go by, and you have a love, you're loving him, you love each other, you're writing love letters. You just don't know.
So you can, like, choose your own adventure.
It's like a choose-your-own-adventure on Donald's Wild White House Ride. And then, of course, as you get to the end of the ride, just when you think it's over.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
You go down a hill.
Oh, no.
You go down a hill.
No.
Racioli 3 to 6. Talk radio 1210. WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.